Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from Deuteronomy 18, our Old Testament reading. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. This is God's word. You're all wondering what you're going to get right now, aren't you? I am too. I'm happy to say the migraine med seems to be working. So I feel marginally better now than I did at the start of the service. So we'll see where we get from here. It's actually funny to talk about preaching and the challenges of preaching. I often tell people that the best sermons I get to preach as a preacher are funeral sermons. I don't like that funerals happen. I don't like death. I don't like that people are hurt and broken by death. But I love to preach at a funeral. And the reason for that is twofold. The first one is we as Christians have the perfect message for a funeral. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ over the grave. We have that promise that because he lives, we will live. And there is no better message to preach at a funeral. That's the only message to be preached. The second reason, though, that I like to preach at funerals is because there's a captive audience. What I mean by that is everyone's hearts and minds are in the same place. They're on that casket at the front of the church. Everyone is thinking about death. Everyone is grieving to one degree or another, whether it's the immediate family of the deceased who are grieving the most intensely, or the person who came in and sat in the back just because they knew this person and appreciated this person and they wanted to be there at their funeral. You don't get that all the time as a preacher, where everyone's thinking about the same thing and everyone's hearts and minds are all in the same place. Because on a Sunday morning, like today, our hearts and minds are all over the place. Even if you got told at the start of the service the pastor has a migraine, we don't know what kind of freak show this will turn into. You might all be thinking about that, but you've all got preoccupations. You all have distractions. Your hearts and your minds are all over the place. And I had written this to put in my sermon before this morning. That happens to the preacher too. I'm particularly preoccupied this morning with the fact that my vision's all goofy. But even on a regular Sunday morning when I don't have a migraine headache, I'm preoccupied at times. I have thoughts going through my mind. It could be something going on in my family. It could be something in my personal life, something else in the life of the church, something that is even keeping me, the one preaching the sermon, from being focused on the task at hand. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, has a captive audience. The book of Deuteronomy is a sermon. A sermon preached to people whose hearts and minds were all in the same place, in the same moment, going through the same thing. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is 34 chapters long. That is a robust sermon. We're definitely not going that long today. But the people wouldn't have minded. They were listening. Because you know why they were captive. You know why they were all thinking and going through the same thing. They had just been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And that's not even entirely accurate. The ones that are now about to enter the promised land, they weren't the ones brought out of Egypt. All the ones brought out of Egypt died in the wilderness. The ones who were about to go into the promised land, all they had ever known, save for two people, Joshua and Caleb, were the only ones who did not die that came out of Egypt and were allowed to enter the promised land. The people of Israel, all they had ever known was wandering in the wilderness, sleeping on rough terrain, eating manna that fell from the sky, probably blisters and calluses all over their feet. But now it's about to end. Moses speaks to them as they are just about to finally enter their land of promise. There is no way they were not a captive audience. In fact, the people of Israel realized that it was through Moses that God spoke to them. They were terrified at Mount Sinai at the thought that the Lord God would speak to them directly, and so they pleaded with Moses to be the one who would deliver the word on God's behalf to them. And we even see that in our Old Testament reading, where you see the people who are terrified at Mount Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, that someone else should speak to them lest they die. And God said it was good that they felt that way. So he did give them Moses. He did give them someone to speak the word to them. But now there was a problem. They were about to enter this land of promise, and Moses wasn't going with them. He was one who would die in the wilderness. Back in the book of Numbers, at a place called Meribah, the Lord had commanded Moses to speak to a rock, and water would flow forth from it to water the Israelites. But Moses, for whatever his reason, instead of speaking to the rock, struck the rock with his staff. And the water came forth nonetheless. But the Lord told Moses, because you disobeyed, because you would not believe me and do as I commanded, you will not enter the land of promise. You will die before you go into that land. The problem that poses for Israel is who will speak the word of the Lord to them. Who will deliver the Lord's word to the Lord's people at the proper time? We might ask ourselves a similar question. Who will deliver us the Lord's word here in our day? Who will be our prophet? Well, in the case of Israel, Moses told Israel, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. There would be another one to come after Moses. His name was Joshua. As I mentioned earlier, he too came out of slavery and was allowed to live throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua would ensure that there would still be someone to deliver the Lord's word to the Lord's people. The Lord had said to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my word that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. The Lord would give his people a prophet, but in so doing, the people need to listen. Because there are drastic consequences to not listening to the Lord's prophet. And as you know already about Israel, they would time and time again fail to listen to the words that the Lord would speak to them by prophets. They would be stiff-necked. They would be stubborn. They would worship false gods. They would act in greed and lust and jealousy and dishonesty towards one another. But the Lord would speak. He gave them Moses, a prophet, to speak to them in the wilderness. He gave them Joshua to speak to them as they conquered the promised land. He would give other prophets to speak to them as they were ruled over by kings, prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Elijah. The Lord would speak his word. Would Israel listen? During this Advent season, we've been learning to see ourselves as Israel, as Abraham's children, that we are exiles. We've been driven out from the place where we belong, in front of our heavenly throne, the throne of our Father in heaven. We are people in the wilderness. We are people with hope in a promised land. We, like Israel, we need a prophet to deliver the Lord's word to us, one who's a better prophet than Moses, the one who spoke to them in the wilderness, a better prophet than Joshua, who spoke to them in the conquest, a better prophet than Elijah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, who spoke as the kings ruled over them, even a better prophet than John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord, who said, "Among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Moses pointed Israel to Joshua. But that's not all he was pointing to. The name Joshua is, after all, a Hebrew name. That means the Lord saves. And out of the Greek language came another translation of that very same name, Joshua, which we know as Jesus. His name was, after all, in Aramaic, Yeshua. He was another prophet after Moses. But unlike Joshua, who was simply the Lord's man for the time of the conquest of the promised land, Jesus is a prophet who delivers the people from slavery to sin, who is a prophet to them in the wilderness of this world, who is a prophet who delivers the people into the land of promise, and who not only speaks as a prophet as kings reign and rule, but sits on the throne as the king himself. You see, the prophet you need for this day, for this moment, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Moses' warning still holds. "I will raise up a prophet like you from among their brothers." And indeed, Jesus did come, born of Mary, and yet also Son of God. "I will put my words in his mouth," the Lord said through Moses. And indeed, the words of our Lord are not just in the mouth of Jesus. He is the Word made flesh. "He shall speak to them all that I command him." Of course, Jesus does faithfully speak that which comes from his Father. "And whoever will not listen to my word that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Woe to the person who does not hear the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our prophet. You see, there are things that do indeed distract us from hearing the word of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about whether our mind is in a different place this morning, either thinking of our problems and preoccupations and worry, or thinking about the Packer game last night or the Lions game today. God forbid that nothing, that anything should ever get in the way of us hearing the words of Christ our Lord. For he is the Word. And where the Word of God is, there he is. And he is speaking. This Jesus, the new and better Joshua, who is a new Joshua and yet was before the first Joshua. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 1 at the beginning of his book, "Long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus, of course, is the prophet that we need and the prophet given to us for our day, for our moment. And what is it that he speaks? What is the word we need to hear in this day? What is the voice he calls out with? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I forgive you all your sins. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I am with you always to the end of the age. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? In my Father's house are many rooms. You see, the word of God that speaks forth from Scripture's page that is proclaimed to your hearts this very day, that comes to you in bread and wine, that very word is none other than Jesus himself. Your prophet for this moment and for every moment. Dear friends in Christ, the voice of God still speaks to you today. The voice of God still declares you forgiven in the blood of the one who dies for you. The voice of the Lord declares to you, he is risen from the dead. The voice of the Lord declares to you, I am coming again. Listen to the voice of your prophet, dear friends in Jesus, he who is Christ himself, our Lord, our King, our priest, and a prophet greater than Moses, greater than Joshua, the very word himself. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue our service with the offertory. Marian, we will go ahead and continue with the liturgy as normal. Page 192 of your hymnals. Please stand.